I suggested last week that humans have this deep desire to find their place in the universe. We talk about it in different ways. People talk about tapping into the divine or being sort of spiritually grounded or finding purpose and meaning in their lives. We want to find a place to belong, to feel at home. And in his letter, John has talked about it far more definitively as being in fellowship, being in partnership, having a proper relationship with God the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ and with other believers in this world that God has made. That's who and where we find our home. That's where we belong. He wrote in verse 3 of chapter 1, which we looked at last week, chapter 1, verse 3 of 1 John, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." But what is the proclamation that they're bringing? What is the message? And where has it come from? Who has it come from? Who exactly is this God with whom fellowship is on offer? The first verse we're looking at this week gives an answer to those questions. It's not an entire answer. It's only sort of a part of an answer. But short as it is, it needs some unpacking. It's really dense. Let's unpack it now. Have a look at verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." The first thing to see is this is a message John hasn't made up. It's something he's heard from someone else. He says it's from him. That can only be talking about Jesus. He's saying this is what Jesus taught about God and we're passing it on to you. And the message that he has is simple enough. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Throughout the Old Testament, in the history of God's revelation to the people of Israel, there was this association between God and light. We all know those famous words at the start of the Bible. God said, "Let there be light." But it takes on this poetic message when it starts to talk about God as the light bringer, the light giver, the one who has guidance and truth for his people. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." It's starting to associate God with light. And John's saying that Jesus took that teaching in the Old Testament to a whole new level when he came, that God himself is light. Not the photon, electromagnetic wave, the physical thing. But it's saying that God is radiant, God is bright, God is true, he enlightens, he is wisdom and knowledge and energy. God is light. And of course, we cannot help but think of what John records of Jesus in his gospel, that in him, in Jesus, God the Father, the true light, came into the world. And this is the one with whom fellowship is offered. And while there is something really wonderful about this, there's also something really demanding in this too. If God is light and we can come into his fellowship, well, what happens when you turn on a powerful, bright light? When you bring it close to something? Well, something that, you know, inside your house in the dimly lit evening looks quite clean. If you carry it outside in the bright daytime, what does it look like? It looks dirty. It shows up the problems. And this is who John is talking about coming into fellowship with, a God who is light, that is a God who is powerful and all-knowing and can see everything, who shows up everything. And so it's both important and wonderful, but also really intense, because he's going to show up any shortcomings in us. And that is really uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable that it's possible to be completely deceiving of other people and completely even self-deceived about having a proper relationship with this God. So have a look at what it says in verse 6. "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth." Now, the idea of walking is a biblical metaphor that's used all the time for how people live their lives. So John's talking about the possibility that there are people who say that they have a fellowship with God, say they have a partnership with Him, but they don't have the morality that comes with that. In fact, they're actually avoiding God and His ways while speaking as though they have fellowship. And again, this is like what we heard in John's Gospel. Have a look, have a think back to what we heard from John chapter 3. I'll read it to you. John chapter 3, verse 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his evil deeds will be exposed. You just need to add to that the idea that you could claim to be in the light and you have this idea. People who are trying to avoid being in a proper relationship with God. We're going to think a bit more about ideas associated with this next week. But what you can see already is that there's a real need to be honest with God, isn't there? It's not just the churches that John wrote to that have this at risk. That he's not just warning them, he's warning churches today. He's warning our church that we can be saying the right things, speaking as though we have fellowship, claiming that we have fellowship, but actually avoiding the God who stands behind our church, who wants to be in fellowship with us, but we're avoiding Him and His ways and His demands on us. We can be living in the darkness instead of stepping into the light, and all the while claiming and saying that we belong to the light. And so we need to have honesty about that. And honesty is scary, isn't it? Again, honesty is intense. Actually facing up to who we are, what we've done, that's always hard. No one likes to do it. But look at what happens when we do come into the light in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. When we are in the light and when we're walking in the light, we have fellowship. We have the fellowship that we so desperately need. We belong somewhere. We have a home. We have a place. And we can live in proper relationships with God and with His people. And even as the light shows up our faults and our failings, what's it say? The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. John will write in this letter that everything we do wrong is sin. In chapter 5, verse 17, he says that. He says sin is lawlessness in chapter 3, verse 4. Sin is where we reject God and His direction, and it makes us dirty. But as the light of God shines on us and shows up our failings, we're actually in fellowship with Him and Jesus Christ, His Son, and then we get purity. Jesus does it through His blood. Now, the use of the word blood is shorthand for speaking of a sacrifice. In the Old Testament times, an Israelite who sinned would bring an animal, an innocent animal, and the priest would kill the animal and so atone for the sinner. The blood would be poured out and the sinner would be atoned for. The sinner would be purified. God gave the people animals, He says, so that they would be able to make sacrifices to Him. And this sacrificial system that existed in the Old Testament times was pointing forward to the day when God the Father would offer His Son, when Jesus would offer His life. When Jesus went onto the cross, He was taking the guilt and the penalty for our sins upon Himself, the sins of the churches that John wrote to, the sins of John himself. And He was dealing with it. He was bringing purity to us. The blood of Jesus was poured out and we find forgiveness. Anyone who believes this message has purity on offer for them in Christ Jesus. And so what should people do? What should people who walk in the light do? How do we live knowing that our sin is dealt with? Well, again, we can keep on reading. Have a look at verses 8 to 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. I think verses 8 and 10 struggle to get the best translation of these ideas. It's talking about this idea of claiming to have no sin. It might be better if verse 10 in particular was translated, if we claim we don't have any sin. See, the point is, with saying this, it's saying that we've sinned before, we'll sin again, we'll never not have sin among us, near us, in us. We've always got it. Walking in the light means we're purified from sin, but we're not sinless. We're released and freed from sin, but we're not sin-free. There's no way that you can hide from this light. It will show you up. And it's not just that it's nonsense to say that you're sinless. In fact, you'll just be adding more sin. You'll be showing yourself to be a liar. You'll be making out that God is a liar. When you're in the light, you can't hide, and you shouldn't hide, and so instead you should confess. Now, Christians, we use that word confess a lot, don't we? We talk about that from time to time, and it's important that we make sure we do understand what we mean by it. The word confess simply means to speak the truth about something. It's a word that means admitting something. In this case, it's admitting that we are wrong, but we do that with the confidence of God's love and Christ's sacrifice, and so our forgiveness. In church, we almost do this every week in a corporate way. That is, together we read a prayer that says to God, we've sinned and we need his forgiveness. We ask for his help to change and to transform us. Now, doing that should help remind us who we are as Christians. Sinners who are not sinless, but have found forgiveness. We come out of the darkness and begin to walk in the light, but we're not perfect. We're not even in the same galaxy as perfect. But we have found forgiveness and purity through what Christ has done. And I hope that as we pray that prayer week by week, it is shaping our culture. That is, it's shaping our church community so that we are a group that is actually not surprised by the fact that other people do the wrong thing. Where it's actually possible for us to have good, constructive conversations about the sin in our lives. That greediness, anger, and lust are not things that we see that are just out there, but in here, and that we can talk with one another about it and be in partnership with one another about it. That we can talk about how we're prone to being lazy or being a workaholic. That we can deal with the fact that some of us are really struggling with these things. We're in fellowship with God and with each other. God's given us each other to encourage us along the way in walking in the light. None of us have arrived. And so we partner together, we fellowship together, and we begin walking in the light together. And so we should never be a community that's too sort of, you know, prim and proper to deal with the reality of the sinfulness and the brokenness in this world and in each other's lives. We need to be able to be real with one another, because that's what the light does. It shows us up. We need to be able to confess our sins to God and to one another as is appropriate. And I wonder what steps we need to take to do this better as a church, as a community of believers. What can you do to make this better, this stronger in our church? Of course, our wider community might actually struggle with the idea that anything would be called sinful. The idea that we should hold off on our desires, whatever they are, is often met with kind of scorn, as if, you know, oh, just go with what you want to do. Instead, people are told to pursue their desires as long as they don't sort of do foreseeable harm to other people. And so apart from breaking sort of laws and obviously hurting people, I in societies might have nothing to confess. I don't have sin. I wouldn't label it as sin. I might do things that I don't like or that are wrong or something, but we would never use the label sin for those things. I don't have something I need to confess. But I think that's really incredibly superficial. I think actually you might be claiming to be in the light while walking in the darkness. It's claiming to be without sin. And we know how serious sin is because it costs the blood of Jesus Christ. We need, as our society preaches something different to us, we need to stand against it. We need to make real progress in walking in the light and in confessing our sins. And so the whole point of this is to be honest with God. Because when we're honest with God, then we can find real comfort when we sin. And yet not complacency that we do sin. And when we're honest with God and each other, we can work together to stand against sin in our lives. Knowing that we will still sin and we'll never be sinless, but we can find forgiveness and purity and freedom from sin in Christ Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus purifies us, we can walk in the light together. Because that's what God has brought us into. That's where we belong. Because God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And so to finish, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I'm going to begin with some verses from Psalm 51, which is a prayer that King David, ancient Israelite king, prayed to confess his adultery. But it's how we should feel about all our sin. It's a prayer that we can use too. And so I'll begin with that, and then I'll continue on in my own words. Let's pray together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Lord of light, we praise you that you know our sin, but you sent Jesus Christ to deal with it. In the face of our sin, we claim his blood. Trusting the word he preached that you are light, draw us ever nearer to live with you in that light and walk in that light. Enable us to keep away from the darkness and to bring out the darkness within us and confess it before you, and work together in walking together in the light that you bring in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.